The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and Producing on the other side of the glass. Ray, after living in town 30 years, I guess it's just the law of average, a microburst would eventually find our home. And it did last night. It was the Wizard of Oz at the Buckmaster home as a microburst just blew into our neighborhood with, I'm telling you, hurricane force winds. It was really something. The good news is the trees that came down did not go and hit the roof. That would have been a big issue. But anyway, the good news again is that we're okay and all of that stuff can be replaced. But it was kind of frightening, I'll tell you, 35 minutes of heavy rain and this incredible winds. But then like a couple blocks away, nothing. That's Tucson in the monsoon. Very kind of the iconic storm. It's July 31st, the final day of July, and I hope the week is going pretty well for you. Calvin Baker is with me in studio. Calvin Baker is the superintendent of the highly acclaimed Vail School District. Calvin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Bill. Good to be here.
Luckily, you didn't have any microbursts down in your area.
Not last night.
But you were telling me you've had a few of them.
We had, just 2 weeks ago, we lost half of the gym roof on one of our newer middle schools.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the school started for Vail. You guys start, I believe, pretty much the first school in the area to start.
Correct.
And
yeah.
You have kind of, it's not really a year-round schedule, is it?
No, we call it a modified traditional schedule. So all we really do is we start earlier and then we take bigger breaks during the school year.
How's the morale among the teachers as we talked with you? I think we were talking with you right as kind of the Red for Ed movement was at its height. So how did it all settle down and what do you think was accomplished?
Well, one thing that was accomplished is a much greater awareness regarding school funding. And as I watch the political landscape, there's just a whole lot more conversations occurring about education and education funding, and that is a good thing. We are moving forward. We had our all staff day yesterday where we have all 1900 employees to gather in the same place. We had a really good day. There were some wounds created last spring because there was a lot of very, very strong feelings. And there were some teachers who stayed away and cried as they stayed away. And there were other teachers who came to work and cried as they came to work because they were all so conflicted about it. But I think we're moving forward from that.
Did all of your teachers get a raise, or was it everybody got something spread out with all of your employees, including bus drivers and other school workers?
All of our teachers got a 10% raise. And then the other significant fact is that our definition of a teacher in Vail is bigger than the state's definition of a teacher. So we included all the teachers as we define teachers. And then other employees got a 4% increase.
So Vail is one of four school districts that will be asking voters for funds this fall. What kind of a bond program are you asking for? And I believe this is the first time you have gone to the voters in 4 years. You were successful 4 years ago. What's involved, Calvin Baker, this time around?
Well, Vail is growing. Amazon is coming to Vail. The tech park in Vail is expanding. The roadways, Houghton Road, is just all kinds of work being done there. And there's major housing developments, including Rocking K, that are launching. So with that comes more people and the need for additional school facilities. So we are seeking funding or asking voters to approve a bond that would provide a new high school, a new K-8 school, along with buses and technology.
You need a new high school?
Correct.
Why is that? I mean,
current high schools are at or above capacity. For example, at Cienega High School, it was built for 1,650 students. We have 2,100 students in the school. We've converted, we've put three classrooms in a library. We've converted two of the three teacher lounges into classrooms. We're just have no other places to put kids.
The bond issues obviously wind up at the bottom of the ballot, and that is a problem, isn't it?
It is, right.
Especially when you've got this huge ballot that will be coming up in the fall. People get ballot fatigue when by the time they get down to the bottom of the ballot, and they may just say, boop, who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
We are concerned about that. We're also concerned about getting caught up in other issues. But ultimately, it is a decision our community needs to make, and we hope and trust they make the right one.
You know, do you have a teacher shortage at Vail? So many of the districts, TUSD, has been suffering from this. They've had to bring in all sorts of substitutes. Do you run into that problem or not?
We have been struggling the last 4 or 5 years to find teachers that meet our standards. This year was better than it has been for the last 4 or 5 years. I think the 10% salary increase was a factor in that. We also, interestingly, just yesterday got approved to do our own teacher certification program by the Department of Ed, and that issue now goes before the state board. So, and if the state board approves that, then we will be the first school district in the state to be able to do our own certification.
And how big a deal is that for you, to do your own certification?
It's a big deal because it'll just give us more freedom and an additional avenue to find and train top quality teachers.
Calvin Baker, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry, they do, they get up very early, obviously, to do all that great baking to make sure that the bread that your sandwich will be delivered on today during the noon hour came out of the oven just a few hours ago. Wide variety of breads and other things. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link there to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of our great supporters of the Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman coming up next. Lots to talk about with Shelley as we push toward 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday during the noon hour, we'll have a newsmaker interview with Steve Herman. Mr. Herman is the White House correspondent for The Voice of America, also the author of a new book about one of Tucson's most infamous killers. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, you're telling me you had a couple of raindrops.
Yeah, basically. We had a couple of raindrops. It was watching the storms go elsewhere all through July.
You know, we're up there all hunkered down, you know, thinking, oh my goodness, at any moment a tree is coming through our roof. And like a couple of miles away to the south, your home, pretty much untouched.
Right.
Other than a few drops on the windshield.
Area, just a few drops. It was a little bit of wind. And, you know, we knew there was rain in the area. But we've had now night after night of watching the clouds go elsewhere.
Yeah, it's been kind of, well, it's typical monsoon, I guess.
Sure.
The old hit and miss. Shelley, kind of the theme of the last few weeks, we've been talking about volatility. So I thought maybe we could kind of take a deep dive into what's the counter to volatility. And I would say the word that pops up is stability. So how do we find stability?
Well, look, any market is going to react to what the economic forecasts are and react to the reports that come in. Now, on Friday, Bill, we had a report on GDP, gross domestic product, for the second quarter. And that number, by all measures, you know, of reality, was a really great number. It was 4.1%. Now, in the first quarter, after adjustments and everything, the GDP growth was 2.2%. So this was 2 points higher, and everybody should have been pretty happy with that. Unfortunately, from my perspective, when the president announced it and talked about it afterwards, he talked about it as if it were 9% or 10%.
Yeah, I think like
he exaggerated massively.
The best growth we had seen,
and
in the history of the galaxy.
Right, right. And it's about the fifth best If you were to compare it to all of the quarters during the Obama administration, it'd be number five. It'd be number five during the Bush administration. I think number four during the Clinton administration. But and nowhere near even rating, if you go all the way back to the post-war growth, that could be 6 or 7% at times. But it was a good, solid number. And that's what the market wanted to see. Now, what was inside that number was some reaction to companies taking defensive actions against the impending tariffs. So what was happening is companies have been essentially shedding inventory, getting that inventory overseas before the tariffs kicked in the end of the second quarter, so that they could avoid those tariffs. That, of course, had the effect of inflating that GDP number.
But on balance, Shelley Fishman, this is a very good economy.
Absolutely. This economy has been on track. If you do this mean reduction line from about 2010 through today, it's almost a straight line. We've had good, steady growth. Now, we are in a world that is so integrated economically that the global economy is creating changes in the way we think about the economy, changes in the way we think about the fungibility of money, the way money moves from one area of the globe to another, the way companies think about their businesses, because they're much more global now than they ever were. As a result, and because of so many of the trade agreements that were hammered out really since the end of World War II, you had a system of worldwide trade that has developed and kind of grown almost how can I say this? It has a life of its own, you know, like people evolve. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as we've had to tweak things, we've done it. And we've kept good relationships with our trading partners. And, you know, we might have excessive tariffs or higher tariffs in one area where the Europeans have higher tariffs in another area. We might be perfectly willing not to put tariffs on imports of certain products where the Europeans have been very good about making sure that we can move our technology and our service industries into Europe. So the minute you single out one industry like cars, for instance, or soybeans, for instance, you're going to get what appear to be abuses and inequalities. But these balances have been put in place very carefully over 30 or 40 years. Now, over a period of time like that, technologies change. The world grows, and so the demand for products gets shifted in terms of its focus from, say, just between Europe and the States to third world countries, to Asia. And so these things need to be tweaked and renegotiated from time to time. And it's very important that we do that. And to a very great extent, we have done that, Bill.
Let's go through some of the things that would require that we need to have done to stabilize the economy. And I think you would have to begin with something that's going on right now, the North American Free Trade Agreement, whether or not that's going to be, is the United States going to continue to even be a partner?
So, and this is all part and parcel of all of those agreements that need tweaking. We have winners and losers within our own economy, more winners than losers because of global trade. But if you're on the loser side, you know, you're not feeling good about this economy or as good as you could be feeling about it. If you're on the winner side, you feel great. Just kind of a word to the wise here, some of this stuff is going to sound a little bit political because it's not necessarily what our administration wants to see happen. But clearly, for the markets to stabilize, become more predictable, and for companies to be able to invest their capital in a way that is comfortable for them and will create growth, we need stability. So, yes, we have to renegotiate NAFTA. We have to get it in place, and we have to remove the uncertainty about whether or not we're going to be able to reach a successful trading deal with Canada and Mexico.
Do we need to get back into the Trans-Pacific trade partnership?
Oh, please.
We're out of that right now.
We're out of that. We have to get back into it. We have to be the country that is controlling or driving policy in Asia. Right now, with us not there, it's China, and that's not a good idea.
Do we need to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, something that we're now out of?
Well, I think we get out of it in September or October formally, but we've announced our intention to get out of it. Your microburst last night?
Yes.
climate change is real. It's here. We have to be willing to be part of the group of nations, and it's almost every nation in the world.
Every nation except the United States, and I think maybe Nicaragua. I could be wrong on that.
But there are many reasons why it's important. One of the reasons is that we can share technology that uses renewable energy sources and begins to bring down the cost of those renewable energy mechanisms that use renewable energy as opposed to fossil fuels. If we're not part of that, and if our industry in the United States is not fully participating with the rest of the world there, we are going to lose out.
And what about Russia and China and other anti-democratic regimes? Do we need to say, hey, let's stand up to them?
We absolutely do. Bill, I'm second generation American, but I was born at the very end of World War II. The stories my dad and my uncles and all the family talked about, because they all served in World War II, you know, we were consumed with the idea that fascism was being overthrown and had been overthrown. But the horrors of those kinds of systems of government were fresh in our minds. And as a kid, I heard all of that. And I see us going back in that direction. I see the rest of the world being more tolerant of that kind of form of government, and it scares the bejesus out of me.
You know, we've talked about this before, that every American should have some kind of way to serve the country with kind of a national service corps.
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing this now from some senators that are getting on cable shows and talking about it. One of the problems with the global economy is it has created winners and it's created losers. The people who need to be educated, re-educated, the people who need to feel like they are participating in this country and participating in America in a way that really brings them in. One way to do that would be with a National Service Corps that, you know, I believe it ought to be compulsory. So it's not just one class of people or one economic class that gets drawn into this thing. I think everybody should be involved. It doesn't have to be military. Lots of ways that people can serve. And in, return for that service, they would get education. It would be one way to move toward what I know the Democrats want to move toward now, which is free college for all, or at least free community college for all. This would be a way of implementing that, and it would, if it's done properly, it could pay for itself because of how it's done. I mean, we did that during World War II. We did that right after World War II. We had the Peace Corps. We still have the Peace Corps, but we don't have the idea of national service as not just an obligation on the part of individuals to the country, but an obligation on the part of the country to individuals. And I think that would go a good distance toward reducing the polarization we feel in the country today.
And how about treating our friends as friends again and not as adversities?
You know, I understand that President Trump's way of raising an issue is to create some pain, which he can then kind of relieve and take credit for relieving. I don't think that's a good way to negotiate. And I think ultimately that is going to cause resentment in, you know, among people who should be and have always been our friends, at least during my lifetime. And that resentment could take years and years to build our way out of. So I really wish, you know, I think some of his ideas are okay, but I wish that he could find another way to get into the art of the deal.
All right, Shelley Fishman. The market looks pretty good today, right?
Market's up about 130, 140 points down.
We'll take that,
highs,
certainly.
But that's a really good, for a Tuesday,
yeah.
That's a pretty good performance.
Okay, Shelley, thank you very much for sharing some of your thoughts about how we return the markets to some kind of stability and get off the roller coaster. But the roller coaster probably is going to continue maybe for the rest of the year.
You bet. I think that's absolutely accurate.
Thank you very much, Shelley. We'll take our break right here. Buckmaster on a Tuesday.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back, Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show, as we push toward 12:34 on a typical late July day. Yes, it's pretty darn humid out there. It's Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI. Of course, we have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. You will also find at buckmastershow.com all of our great contributors, and a pretty darn good archive of every show that we have done going back to the first week of January 2011, including that historic interview that we had, the last interview with Gabrielle Giffords before the tragic Tucson shooting. All of that in the archives at buckmastershow.com. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes from our friends at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs and all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America that is contained at Zocalo. Well, Zocalo used to be over at Broadway and Country Club. They are now over on the 13-acre site at Green Things. So not only do you get all your gardening things, but great things for your home as well from Zocalo. The website is greenthingsaz.com. Well, voter participation is continuing to erode in the United States. The situation here in Arizona is a crisis, according to a study by the Morrison Institute of Public Policy up at Arizona State University. On the live line right now is Joe Garcia. Joe is Director of Communication for Morrison, and he's also the director of the Latino Public Policy Center at the Morrison Institute. Joe, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about you, Bill?
Doing very well. This study really opens up a lot of, I think it opens folks' eyes to the fact that we have a real problem in Arizona with getting voters turned on, if you will, minority voters, young people, and the poor. What was kind of the take-home message from this study? And I know, was the Arizona Clean Elections Commission also involved in the study?
Yeah, Arizona Citizens Clean Election Commission basically were the underwriters for this report and this study. You know, their main mission is voter education and voter engagement, so it was right up their alley. And we wanted to take a look at where Arizona, is, and unfortunately, we're not where we need to be. In fact, compared with other states, Arizona voter turnout's in the bottom 20%, ranking 43rd among the 50 states.
You know, Joe, we have talked in the past when you've when we have had you on the program, that we have this large percentage and a growing percentage of Hispanic people in Arizona, but they have yet to really make their full force felt at the polls. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think there's a few reasons for that. One is there's three buckets of people that generally do not vote, and they are young people, they are poor people, and they're people with not the highest education level, such as college degrees and so forth. Latinos fall in all three of those buckets. So it's not necessarily ethnicity, it's just the way that it falls. Latinos are a very young population. So the other reason that you don't feel the full force of Latino votes at the ballot box is because of the young population. In other words, a young Latina of age 15 is not magically going to be 18 years old come November.
The Institute is trying to, I know you're trying to raise the awareness of the low voter turnout to kind of turn that trend around in Arizona. In Arizona, only 58% of registered voters turn out on average. That in itself is a big problem, Joe Garcia.
Yeah, we were looking at it, and we were looking at all the potential voters. That's people who are either registered to vote or they did not bother to register to vote, but they're otherwise eligible. They're a U.S. citizen, and they're 18 or older. And, you know, you're dealing with almost half of Arizona's potential voters, 45%, not voting in our representative democracy. And we look at that, and we kind of say, you know, looking at the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition, I mean, of a crisis, that certainly qualifies. One of the big challenges, of course, are millennials, who make up nearly a third of Arizona adults, yet only about half of the millennials bother to even register to vote. And there's the real concern is going moving forward is whether or not millennials will take up the mantle and take up the torch and become voters later in life as older voters, die off, or if millennials are going to go kind of the track of their own way, which they kind of seem like they do their own thing, if they don't vote, and then definitely will fall into an even deeper crisis.
What is your recommendation then to try to turn this situation around? How do we kind of light a fire under these particular groups and get them interested?
Well, I think it's about making the connection of understanding that elected office and government does impact your daily lives. And sometimes the people that are most affected, let's just talk about your utility rates and so forth, maybe utility future renewables and so forth. Arizona Corporation Commission handles those. Many people don't even know that there is an Arizona Corporation Commission, much less who the candidates are or where their stances are. But if you can make that connection that, wait a minute, I have a voice and I have a vote on where we go with energy in Arizona, then it becomes real. So on the website of a Clean Elections website is a link where if you're trying to learn about elections for the first time or kind of you're an infrequent voter, or even if you're a longtime voter, there's information on what each elected office does. And that kind of explains to you, because otherwise it's kind of like, you're inviting someone over to watch Game of Thrones. They've never seen it before. You're saying, you'll figure it out. So we're looking for avenues that people can get re-engaged or engaged for the first time, become voters, knowledgeable voters. So the key is not just driving more people to the polls, but driving more educated people to the polls.
We're speaking with Joe Garcia. Joe is Director of Communications at the Morrison Institute of Public Policy at Arizona State University. He's also the Director of the Latino Public Policy Center at the Morrison Institute. Joe Garcia, where does it does a lot of this go back to the fact that civics classes, which, you know, I grew up a million years ago, but that was a mandatory requirement in school. Should we get back that way?
Yeah, I think the legislature is moving that direction. Certainly the governor's, civics recommendation and guidelines, and then there's also some equivalency you get on your diploma to show that you've gone through some civics courses. But it's understanding, again, it's like you said, it's making that connection, and we're not doing it. But there's also a disconnect in understanding about primary elections. Oftentimes, the primary election in Arizona is the election because 20 of our 30 legislative districts are non-competitive. So essentially, who you vote for in the primary is pretty much almost guaranteed to win the general election. And yet, very few people vote in the primary. In the 2016 primary election, fewer than 1 million of Arizona's 4.7 million potential voters voted. So we're talking about, only one in about 1 in 5 eligible voters voting in the primary. And that's a real concern, too. And then you talk about independent voters. Less than 10% of independent voters participate in the primary. So it's a matter of making the connection of not only that your vote counts and why, but also that you need to vote in both the primary and the general.
And we're ranking 43rd in voter turnout. I'm just curious, what are some of the states where voter turnout is very good, and perhaps what are they doing in those states that make it that way?
Right. There also is the apparatus of our election, and every state is different, as you know. Minnesota happens to rank number one, and partly would have to credit it to the same-day voting that they allow, same-day voter registration. You can register that day and vote that day.
Wow.
Whereas in Arizona, it's basically a full month before the election takes place and when you have to have registered. So, you know, the apparatus is set up differently state by state as well.
I like that. So you show up and you can register and vote.
absolutely.
In Minnesota,
and I think that,
yeah.
And I think that if we look at other ways, you know, technology is there where, you know, people can vote on their digital devices. When we talk about millennials, well, you know, they can't put down that phone, that smartphone. Right. Well, why can't we make same-day voting and digital voting on their machine? I mean, the technology is there to prevent fraud and everything else. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like we're looking at ways to engage younger voters. And they are our future, and oftentimes they're the ones who are most impacted by decisions that are made, public policy decisions in the legislature.
Joe, great visiting with you again. Joe Garcia, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Joe Garcia from the Morrison Institute of Public Policy up at ASU. Very interesting stuff about voter turnout being so bad here in Arizona, but maybe we could get some people more interested, right? Anyway, Keith Rosenblum is with us next after we take our break. Be right back.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all seven home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great place to get away from it all. It's only about a three-hour drive. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the complete list of the many places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Joining us now, Keith Rosenblum. Keith is one of two dozen contributors, regular contributors to this program, and usually Keith is somewhere south of the border. He is the Buckmaster Show border contributor, but he is on the live line with us from an area I know pretty darn well because I grew up in Wilmette, Illinois, which is one town north of where Keith is. He's in Evanston, home of the Northwestern Wildcats. How are you, sir?
Bill, I'm exploring your legacy on the North Shore of Chicago.
Are you really?
It is a sordid one, yes.
All those.
And actually, I decided to buy in. You know, we've been doing these kinds of conversations for many years now. I've been encouraging people to ignore State Department warnings and to ignore a lot of what they hear and to just go to Mexico.
Yes.
But now the truth is I'm fleeing. I've actually decided that I disagree with myself and the message that I've been pounding away at for 20 years. And so I'm actually fleeing to the north. And so soon we'll probably be conducting these interviews when I'm in Saskatchewan or Newfoundland.
Really? Yeah, heading north. How is everything?
I'm sorry that Donald Trump's right. Not only do we need a wall, but we need other probably anti-aircraft missiles and things like that at the Nogales border.
Of course, you are a fine graduate of Evanston High School, and I, being a graduate of New Trier, we're the big rivals. As I recall, Evanston, the nickname, are they the Wildcats as well as Northwest? Oh, I know Northwest.
No, change a letter, Bill.
What?
Evanston are the Wild Kits.
That's right. The Wild Kittens, like my.
I am a graduate. This speaks probably poorly of public education, but Evanston, Illinois Public Schools, junior high, grade school, Evanston Township High School, mm-hmm. and then the mistake of going across town to Northwestern University so that I could try to fill in your shoes as a journalism major.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's been a futile battle and one that I just don't know how to cope with, but that's where my degree is from, and I got a job that I thought would keep me in Tucson for a year or 2 years. That was in 1978, and then being unemployed elsewhere, I just stayed in Tucson, and so got to know northern Mexico and a little bit about southern Mexico, and so my perspective on border life and on things going on in Mexico has actually been molded from growing up in suburbia, Illinois suburbia.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what did you think of the list I sent you of the top 10 places that are considered the safest places in Mexico for American travelers? And Mexico City's the top of the list. That one surprised me a little bit.
Bill, I'm 6 foot tall, and I'm in reasonable shape, and so I've been walking and busing and driving the country for the better part of 40 years now, if that's possible. I mean, it sounds like something biblical. But I've never, I was in Chicago last night. I actually was driving between Indianapolis and Chicago, and then on the elevated train, and I've been taking CTA. I feel safe in both societies, but I have to say if you had to say, like, bottom line for my wife, kids, my mom who's 93, would I hesitate for a sec to travel anywhere in Mexico? The answer would be no. I believe that we are, that the United States is a country of people with an island mentality. I believe we are xenophobic. I'm talking in general terms. I'm not talking about you, who I know travels the world, and I'm not talking about other people who come and go freely. But I'm talking about how remarkable it is. I believe that Europeans, I believe that Mexicans, I believe that Latinos generally know that people are people everywhere they go. They're not inclined to buy into the Trump line, which is, and Trump's not the first person. We've heard it from lots of mouths over lots of years. But basically that somehow Americans have a corner on morality, a corner on safety, a corner on decency, any of these things. It's such a bogus premise. And to think that these other societies are insecure or unsafe, you know, it's just, I'm one of the tests, certainly. And for a long time, I didn't speak the language. And for a long time, I got off buses and planes in neighborhoods that were deemed to be unsafe. And I'm not a Mexican, and I don't want to be an apologist. And I don't fall in love with the culture or dislike the culture. It's what I've seen. And today, you or anybody else was going to say, "Hey, I'm thinking of retiring." It's okay. Well, what are your, you know, what are your goals? If you want to maximize your income, and you want to be safe, I just wouldn't think twice about anywhere in the country. And I'm talking about friends from Oregon who moved to Guanajuato, which is the interior state, sight unseen. Mm-hmm. If you go to Peñasco, Alamos, San Carlos, Ajijic down in Jalisco State, and Mexico City, the likelihood. I mean, basically, and I used to say, you know, okay, you'll be able to find some people who speak some English, or you'll get along, or you'll learn a couple words of Spanish, and you'll be fine. But Mexico today is a bilingual country. Mm-hmm. I mean, except for in the far reaches of the countryside, or maybe Oaxaca or places in Yucatan, they've been requiring English in kindergarten right on up, and the country speaks English. So the question just becomes, where do you want to go and how do you want to stretch your dollars? Anyone ought to give it ought to consider it anyway. And I just wouldn't. My recommendation to anybody who don't buy into not just fear over Mexico, but fears of the rest of Latin America, or at least, you know, do your homework before you buy into anyone's line that we have something to be worried about.
I know you were recently meeting with the new mayor of Nogales, Jesus Pulido.
That's correct. And I so wanted Jesus to come on the show today,
right?
Because he's got I thought that a conversation with Jesus would show people just how dynamic Mexico is. He can't make it today, but I promise you he'll be on soon. And he's an example, because Jesus is bilingual, bicultural. He's a U.S. citizen. When he comes into this is the new mayor of Nogales, Mexico. This is a guy who's a graduate of the University of Arizona.
He's a
about somebody.
You said he's a U.S. citizen?
Yeah, as well as Mexican. He has dual citizenship.
Okay.
And this is what you see now, and this is a guy who's now going to be heading the third largest city of Sonora. There's Hermosillo, there's Ciudad Obregón, and Nogales in that order. And Jesus is going to be the mayor of and the mayor in Mexico is not, as we have, it's not a symbolic position, you know, where they do a tie-breaking vote. He has executive authority. It's a strong mayor system. So this is the guy who's going to be running Nogales, Mexico for the next 3 years. And this is somebody who's absolutely comfortable going to and from both societies, who's lived in both, and who knows exactly what Americans are talking about. They say, hey, it makes me a little skittish to go to Mexico, or Mexicans who say, hey, it makes me a little skittish to send my kids to the U.S. as well. This thing cuts both ways. And people like him, who have been educated in both universes under both, are just a marvel of what's to come. And to me, portend really great things for both countries.
Now, is he part of this political wave that has swept Mexico?
He is exactly integrating that. When Jesus said he was going to run for mayor, his family business is the Hotel Fray Marcos, which
is the
oldest hotel. It's a 10-story building right at the port, right on the Mexican side of at the port of entry. And when Jesus said he was going to run for mayor, I said, "Don't, Jesus. It'll corrupt you." He said, "No, I'm going to do it. I can make a difference. I'm going to do it. I don't care." He'd never been in public office. He runs, and I was sure down to the day of the election, I was certain that he was going to get whooped. I thought that the Mexicans would elect López Obrador. I called that shot with more than 50%, which they did. And then I was sure that all the Senate, the House, and at the state level, the state houses and the state senates, and that the governors and all the city councils, I was certain that those were going to stay in the hands of the PRI and the PAN. Well, guess what? The Mexicans gave a mandate, and they swept it. Anyone that had a Morena, or that's the party of López Obrador's Movimiento de Regeneración, it's a play on words because Morena is the skin color of Mexicans. But anyway, I was certain that that Morena would not become a national force, and guess what? It's almost the only force. Mexicans gave it such a huge mandate, and Jesus is a part of that. They brought in lots of really decent people who had no experience whatsoever. I think the figurehead of that López Obrador himself is a bit like Trump, is a bit of a demagogue and a bit of a kind of a scary character to me. But you know what? A lot of people who came in with him are just superb, and I include Jesus in that category.
Is he going to change anything in Nogales?
Well, what do you want to change? It's a wonderful place to visit. It's a they've done great in tourism attraction. They've done great in terms of twin plant. There's almost no unemployment rate, as a in terms of border violence kind of things that you do hear about, where people are fighting for some turf for drug or illegal immigrant access, you know, because there's paths that people use, whether they're underground or whether they're overground. Those things go on, and those are beyond the scope of any mayor. That's
right.
Not going to happen. Those are organized cartels. But do I have high hopes for what Jesus might do to make Nogales bike friendly? Which uh-huh. He's a runner and he's an avid cyclist, and he'd like to do some things with the port of entry. And Jesus has been crossing himself for his entire life. I think he must be in the probably around 40.
Mm-hmm.
He's the kind of person that you would call up and say, "Hey, Jesus, I'd like to do some. I have some. I want to start a company. Want to do some transmissions
right.
from Nogales." He's just a gentleman, and the only difference is language. You can actually go and have this conversation with him now in native English.
We'll get him on the show very soon. Keith, I'm going to let you go as you're back in Evanston. Enjoy the North Shore, and thank you, Keith, very much.
That was great touch base. Bye, Bill. Thank you.
Keith Rosenblum calling from my old stomping grounds, the North Shore of Chicago. Mic check with Mike Shaw this afternoon. Ray Allen helping out. Wake up from 6 to 9. Then me, Buckmaster 1204. On behalf of Ray, have a great afternoon and evening.